This episode is brought to you by Google Gemini. With the Gemini app, you can talk live and have a real-time conversation with an AI assistant. It's great for all kinds of things, like if you want to practice for an upcoming interview, ask for advice on things to do in a new city, or brainstorm creative ideas. And by the way, this script was actually read by Gemini. Download the Gemini app for iOS and Android today. Must be 18 plus to use Gemini Live.
All right, everybody, it's time for Overreaction Monday with most of week 17 in the books. Christmas is behind us.
Ooh,
New Year's is in front of us. The wild card chase in the National Football League is actually cooling down.
Yep.
With all the results, Chris Brockman, Rich Eisen,
hey, Rich.
Good to see you, buddy.
What's up, man?
How are you?
Let's go.
You got... Okay, flip him over because I could see.
You can see him?
Yeah.
Okay,
very good.
Flip him over.
You had a good time in New York City?
We got so lucky with the weather. It was, you know, a little chilly, but it was great. A little bit of snow on Christmas Eve morning.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
I was hanging with a man in a silver puffy coat.
I saw that.
Yeah.
The coat returned.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Kurt Warner put on the silver puffy coat, and I'll tell the full story in the flagship show, but he brought it for a gag.
Oh,
he brought it for a gag.
I mean, the game on Sunday, it was a little chilly.
But then on the fourth quarter,
yeah,
when the fog began to roll in, he put it on.
Yeah.
And I busted his balls for it.
You needed it. The Warner Bowl.
That's what it was. And that was a fun one at the very end. So lots to overreact to.
Let's do it.
This one is brought to you, as always, Overreaction Monday, brought to you by Game Time, the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use our code of Overreaction, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Mm-hmm. All right, DJ Mikey Diaz and D's Nuts, hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Monday.
All right, hey. Everybody, what do you got over there, Chris Brockman? Let's get into it.
Let's do it. Week 17. I love starting with the Sunday night game. Man, what a thriller. Jane Daniels won me two fantasy championships. I love that.
Yeah, he did. He won you the Rich Eisen show.
Did I win that?
You did indeed.
Oh, man.
I have a feeling we're going to be discussing that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
The one that we share with
the fantasy footballers who came in and said to us, you know, you could win the league with Jaden Daniels as your quarterback. I'm like, okay, we will draft him and we will do that.
Yes. Saquon Barkley helped too.
Yeah.
Rich, I think the Commanders are going to be the East Coast team that goes furthest in the playoffs.
So you say they go further than the Eagles. That's your way of saying that.
Eagles, Ravens.
Bills, too? You're going to include the Bills?
I'm not going to include the Bills. I will include the Steelers since TJ says, you know, Pittsburgh is an East Coast city.
Why don't you include the Bills? Because you made this thing up without thinking of the Bills?
The Bills are, Rich, have you been to Buffalo recently?
I understand that.
Buffalo's not exactly East Coast,
so
East
time zone.
If you're
including the Steelers, you got to include the Bills here.
I was including the Steelers for the gag on TJ.
Okay.
I'm including
TJ's not here.
Either Atlanta or Tampa, whoever wins there.
So I think you should truly do coasts then, because you're removing the Steelers and the Bills from this equation.
I think they're going far.
I think this is an overreaction anyway. I think the Eagles, yes. I think the Eagles are going to be a real tough out, bro.
Who is their quarterback?
Well, how about this, though? It'll be Jalen Hurts, I feel. I mean, who knows with a concussion, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, look, he played undiagnosed, but he looked pretty bad. He had a little rough stretch there following, you know, a kind of a blow that he
I know,
took.
And
he's been cooking. But.
And they knew they could beat the Cowboys without without Hurts. That they rest him and they'll do it again. They'll rest him one more time.
Yeah.
The only concern I would have would be the rust, because you will have missed almost 3 weeks of activity. But the ultimate issue may be that when it's all said and done, they get the Packers now in the first round of the playoffs. The odds are, because of the way that things have now hashed out, that when the Commanders play the Cowboys in the final week of the season, and the Packers play the Bears in the final week of the season, they both went out, the Commanders would be the sixth seed. And I don't know, would you rather face the Commanders for a third time? That's always dicey, but you've got a rookie quarterback
right.
in his first ever playoff start. But if there's any quarterback
that
you wouldn't even consider that an issue, or would you consider it being a major issue that you've got Josh Jacobs and Jordan Love and a more battle-tested playoff team in Green Bay that has won every game that hasn't been against the Vikings or the Lions or the Eagles? that there is more battle tested regular season and from last year postseason than anyone else. So I'll push back on saying that this is an overreaction, that Washington and its defense and going through this for the first time together as a unit will be significant enough that they won't last the longest of anybody on the East Coast. Certainly, if you do want to include the Steelers and the Bills in this equation, I don't think they last longest. But, you know, one never knows. I would choose the Ravens and the Eagles to last longer than the Commanders, to the point where that could even be your Super Bowl in New Orleans. Easily, that could be your Super Bowl.
Eagles-Ravens.
100%.
Yeah, I could see that. There's a few scenarios.
That's less of an overreaction than this one.
Oh, okay.
I believe.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I think my battery's dead.
With free battery testing and charging, we can help you get back on the road.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
So what if I need a new one?
We have the right Duralast battery for you, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
And what about my old battery?
We can recycle it right here at America's number one battery destination.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Bleacher Report. How do you follow sports? From college football to the NBA, Bleacher Report brings you the latest news, live scores, and epic highlights from your favorite leagues, teams, and athletes, all in one app. Dive into exclusive shows hosted by your favorite athletes and original Bleacher Report series with breaking news, rumors, and predictions all season long. Download Bleacher Report to personalize your coverage.
What else you got over there?
Well, Rich, okay, you were late to this party, and I got to say, I was skull clapping early this year. Nick Swartzen, God, what a genius when he came on over
the
summer.
15-2. The only thing he's kind of missing on is that
the Aces.
They can't beat the Las Vegas Aces for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, capable of being the Aces. I think the Vikings are going to the Super Bowl.
That's not an overreaction. That's not an overreaction at all. Certainly if they win next week, and they can, and they're playing better than the Lions have, and they have a lot more pieces on defense than the Lions do. Their only issue is they're going into the Lions' den. And it doesn't matter what happens tonight, even if the Lions do stub their toe against San Francisco. The only thing that would affect would be the line and the odds going into that game,
right.
I think.
But that would shock you if San Francisco won tonight, right?
Well, obviously, it would be surprising, but not shocking. I mean, they are a prideful bunch. And that's the thing I loved about watching a lot of these Week 17 games, man. Even ones like the 3-12 Jaguars against the 3-12 Titans.
That game was really entertaining.
It was
really fun.
Because it was grown-ass men playing for pride, man. And that we don't want to go out like this.
Pride,
we're not going
future.
Out like this. Exactly. All of that. That's sort of but that's, you know, said by two people who are really into the National Football League, also probably watching that game because there was some sort of fantasy related issues.
Shout out Brian Thomas.
Yeah. By the way, I had him as well. He's been terrific.
Yeah.
But I bring all of that up to say that the Niners have a bunch of those guys too.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lions coming in for them to basically say, hey, everybody, you know, we had a terrible year, but tonight's the night where we're just going to put it all together and show everybody that we still had we had this break or that break or that Achilles wasn't, you know, strained and that knee wasn't hurt and blown out. We could have been that team.
Yeah.
That's all to say that regardless of the result Monday night, the final game of the regular season is for the one seed. And the NFC North.
I love that.
And the right to be off and not on the road. So the Vikings can 100% win that game in Detroit and get the week off and then welcome in anybody into their house and give them the game of their lives. Certainly if Darnold is playing the way that he is. And we will have a segment on the flagship show about this, too. The moment where he came in and the rest of the team was waiting for him
incredible.
Is exactly the sort of stuff you dream of when you are hoping to become a National Football League player, wanting to be a quarterback, going through all of those days in USC and obviously high school and the Jets and Carolina and sitting around last year in San Francisco wondering if this would ever happen for you and to you, and it did.
Yep.
That's the sort of stuff that we don't see as fans. And when we do see it after they go 14-2 to beat the Packers and sweep them, that is really powerful and potent. And if they are healthy, they can absolutely make it to the Super Bowl. That is no doubt in my mind. And 100% NFC champion team. The problem for them is there's multiple other ones too.
Yeah.
In this
NFC is
loaded conference.
Yeah.
But this is not an overreaction.
Okay.
Not at all.
I like what I see out of them.
What else, Christopher?
Kevin O'Connell locked up coach of the year, right?
I would think so, but what if the Lions beat the Vikings? If the Lions beat the Vikings and they go 15-2 with having they could have more players. Well, they would if they win 15. They will. They already do. More players that they put on injured reserve on defense
than wins. Yeah.
And they would have 15 wins. That shows you how somebody can become coach of the year.
Yeah, but coming into the year, we expected that, right? We all picked the Vikings to be fourth.
We all picked the Lions to have a repeat season.
Right.
Some of us chose them to go further.
Right.
I did that.
Right.
And it may be spoiled by the Vikings or the Eagles or whomever, but you can't discount. The difference would be you didn't expect Sam Darnold to take them this far.
Right.
And with the Lions, you'd already seen from Goff, he can not only take them this far, he's taken the Rams even further.
Right.
So you want to put that on the coach of the year plate and the difference between who is and who isn't? Maybe so, but Kevin O'Connell, I don't know if he locked it up, but he deserves to be the front runner going into that final game with all the stakes on the line. Oh, man.
Great game. Great finisher to the regular season. Rich, if the Bengals make the playoffs, Joe Burrow should be MVP. What more does this guy have to do?
He has the numbers to support it. Oh, man.
And I know we talk about MVP kind of every week because it's been a fluid conversation. And this is one of the closest, I think, races we've got. You can make a legit case for, five, maybe six guys.
No, you definitely can. I will not call this an overreaction. I would be surprised by it because.
Yeah, it would be shocking, but still.
Because there were some games where, he can't put any of them on Burrow, really. I mean, there were times when he did have a turnover here or there.
But their defense was so bad.
So has every other every other MVP performer. I mean, the Saquon Barkley drop in week two against Atlanta.
Yeah.
For instance,
they'd be in the one seed mix.
And Allen's made a mistake here or there, and everyone like nobody's perfect, right? This is my way of just trying to tap dance here.
It's a fun discussion.
Now, if this was something where I'd have to say he should be or he should not be, that's a more difficult discussion than is this an overreaction? And it's not.
Right.
It's not. The fact that the defense played the way that it did for much of the year and the fact that they're still in it is testament to Joe Burrow's greatness.
I mean, you can think about it. They should have, four more wins at least based on the way Burrow and Chase Brown and T. Higgins.
I will say this. You and I both know this, and the American people know it, and any single human being watching us on our YouTube channel knows it, and every single person listening to us wherever they listen to their podcast knows this as well. Not a soul outside the city of Cincinnati wants to see the Cincinnati Bengals in the playoffs as the seventh seed.
Not at all.
You think the Buffalo Bills would say, you know what? Right now, if the season ended today, we get Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos in their first foray into the playoffs together, with Bo Nix having his first foray into the playoffs as a professional quarterback, coming into the train whistles and all of that stuff here in Western New York. Or do we take the guy who's coming to that situation and send us home?
He's beaten us.
Who's now at the top of his game.
Right.
How about even the Kansas City Chiefs? We were even discussing during a commercial break of Game Day Morning yesterday, and we didn't bring this to the people because you can't say this sort of stuff on the air.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Would the Kansas City Chiefs purposefully pull every single starter possible to let the Denver Broncos have the best chance to win it? No one tanks. No one lays down in the NFL.
But
if you remove enough, enough ammo from the depot, you're going to have less of a chance to win the battle.
Right.
Okay. Would the Kansas City Chiefs purposefully say, you know what? Who needs a 16th win? Who really needs to do that? 15-2 is just fine.
Just fine.
Let's keep everybody healthy. And if the Broncos make it, so be it.
What are you going to do?
That's cool. What are you going to do about it?
They need to do whatever they can, which is what you're saying, to not let Joe Burrow in the playoffs.
Nobody outside of Cincinnati wants to see Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins coming off a 3-touchdown game in week 17.
Thank you, T.
And
Higgins.
The defense performing better. Okay. Better. They're playing better. I mean, they're not giving up 40. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, that's,
I understand that that's a very low standard,
bar.
Right?
Low bar.
Not a soul wants to see a 7th seeded Joe Burrow in the Cincinnati Bengals.
I mean, look, Rich, I'm not going to lie
to
you.
At all.
Yesterday, I'm watching the games and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to put a little bit on the Bengals Super Bowl just in case.
And here's the thing too, is that if the Denver Broncos do lose, okay, the Miami Dolphins
are still alive.
Would actually make it in front. They got a better pole position than the Bengals.
Right.
So Chiefs rather see Tua come into their house freezing again?
Yes.
Would they want Joe Burrow coming into their house to freeze them out?
You do not want Joe Burrow in these playoffs.
Nobody does outside of Cincinnati. You've got to say that because the Bengals fans
of course.
Need to be
acknowledged. But we're pulling for him.
Dude. Sorry, Hoskins, our coordinator, producer, sitting in there fresh off of watching them beat his Bills, beat your Patriots on his break. Please. The Bills, their great season. Allen's MVP. And here comes the guy who thought he should have been MVP because he did, in fact, get them, drag their asses across the finish line.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't want to see him. No one wants to be there. What else you got over there?
We got one more before halftime.
Okay.
It was a great weekend if you're a Patriots fan, because we're now in pole position, number one overall pick in the draft. If this holds, Rich, and the Patriots do have the number one pick for the first time since 1993 when they took Drew Bledsoe, they should blow it up and hire Mike Vrabel to build around Drake May. Admit this was a failure with Gerard Mayo.
I don't know what's going on in that building, and I do not know what the players are saying, and I do not know. I do not have my finger on that pulse, and if there's any sort of finger that the Kraft family that would place in that pulse and they would feel like an irregular heartbeat, they should do this. But they are a patient family that for years have identified Gerard Mayo for a reason. And everybody knew this team would be bad this year. You knew it.
Yep.
I knew it. It's just so difficult for Patriots fans to go through this. This is why I said when Brady signed with the Buccaneers, the day we were on the air on the flagship show, I turned to you and my first take was, Chris, Patriots fans, welcome to the rest of us.
Yeah,
welcome
to
the rest of our world.
I get it.
This is what happens in the NFL. 99% of the time, the exceptions are the Packers who just go from one or the other to the other. This is what happens when you lose your dynamic quarterback. And the Colts thought they'd gotten through it from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck, but then Andrew Luck decided he didn't want to play football anymore.
Yeah.
So this is what happens. These are the growing pains of what happens. And the Krafts identified Gerard Mayo for a reason. They identified him for his personality and for his smarts and for his essence and for his understanding the DNA of the city and the franchise and the building and the crafts and all of it. He's one of theirs.
There's just been too many things this year that have just looked off. The things that we're not used to having have had, the sloppiness, the penalties.
But aren't you going to? That's going to happen when you leave.
I don't think so. This is a guy who learned under Bill, got lured back into football by Bill, and he studied at Bill. And so all of that should have carried over. You know, he was on the defensive staff, and the defense is horrid. You know, a 14-0 lead to Buffalo. I knew we were going to lose that game over the weekend, didn't you? The defense.
You're talking to somebody who watched the Jets just get damn near shut out in the same building against the same team in the same circumstances.
I get it. And look, wins and losses, I can handle the losses. It's, you want to be competitive. You don't want to look sloppy.
Let me ask you,
you don't want to make dumb mistakes.
Let me just ask you this question. We can dig into it a little bit deeper on the flagship show as well. It's all about getting Drake May developed, correct?
Correct.
All right. And I don't see a stunted growth guy. I don't see Mac Jones here.
No.
I see whatever plan they have in place that the kid has done very well under.
Oh, I see Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Jaden Daniels.
Right. So you think the plan that they currently have in place where he's the HC and Alex Van Pelt is not the...
I don't know.
That's the question. This is the question you have to answer.
Play calling has just not been great.
This is the question you have to answer. And this is when the Crafts place their finger on the pulse of the New England Patriots and their locker room. Do they feel like that is a healthy heartbeat for the kid? And if the answer is yes, then you stay the course. I mean, is Vrabel all that special that you need to blow it all the way up for him?
Well, the rumor that he'd bring Josh McDaniels with him, that's enough for me.
Well, that would be very tempting.
Because Mac Jones,
family,
you know, made the Pro Bowl and is in the NFL top 100 the 1 year Josh McDaniels was his offensive coordinator. And, you know, it doesn't look, the mandate after the bye week was like, don't get embarrassed the last 4 weeks. Well, Sunday against the Chargers was embarrassing. You know, they get blown out at home like that.
Right.
And it's bad enough where you made the trade with the Chargers to move down. They take Ladd McConkey and he scores twice.
Well,
and meanwhile,
your two
receivers don't even have his combined stats in that game on the year.
Dude, well, that's on Belichick leaving the roster, and then it's on
Elliott Wolf and company.
That's not on Mayo. I think they're going to stand.
It's brutal. It's as low
end
as it gets.
But
teams that have the number one pick, Rich, they have a new coach.
I try to be nuanced here in a construct where it's not nuanced. I will just call that an overreaction for the moment.
I get it.
Game Time's focused on togetherness this holiday season. How great was it for you to take Cage and Sarah to see a basketball game right there in a heartbeat in the Mecca?
It was unbelievable. The energy in that building was outstanding.
And then the photographs you were sending and posting on Instagram, whatever. It's exactly what Game Time's talking about. The experience becomes that much better when you bring people together at live events. Game Time's got a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets for live events even easier. Right now, use it. The curation of Game Time Picks makes it easier to save more on sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. All in pricing feature. You see your total up front. No surprise fees at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use the code OVERREACTION, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account. Redeem our code OVERREACTION. $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
Bagel, everybody says weird. It is ruined my proposal story.
How Jason proposed, and she was like, he brought in a bunch of bagels. I was like, I have to stop this.
I will punch you in the throat if you ever tell this story again and call it a bagel.
Let me tell you, now when I tell the story, I go, he went and got breakfast.
There you go.
Bagels.
Yeah.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Christopher, how about it?
Rich, with the number two seed wrapped up, Saquon should forego the record chase, sit out week 18 to ensure postseason health.
Agreed.
Really?
Yeah. Not an overreaction.
Oh.
You thought I'd go push back?
I did.
Oh, no. I thought about this overnight. I'm like, he got his $2,000. He got his $2,000.
Yeah.
Good enough. By the way, in 16 games, too.
$2,000.
So there's no asterisk.
Yeah, you're already
legit. You're with TD. You're with Jamal Lewis. You're with CJ 2K. You're with all of them.
All of them. Derrick Henry, all of them.
Eric Dickerson. OJ Simpson, who did it in 14.
Yeah, he's the real record holder.
You know
in
what
my
I mean?
Mind,
you could say that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, what are you going to do? You're trying for Eric Dickerson against the Giants or?
I don't know.
You know, I understand. He already got his revenge on the Giants in every single way he's lived his life. Every single snap he has taken. Every single thing he has done. The Giants thing is dead and buried. The page is turned. Now it's about winning the whole damn thing. Did you hear him say?
He did say that I think.
Because he's right. Because he also has got his head screwed on straight.
He does.
And we need to keep his body screwed on straight.
I think so too.
You know, that's the last thing you want is to him like get some sort of high ankle that he needs to now nurse back to health and you know, spend every single waking second of his day leading up to the first round game that could be against the freaking Packers and Josh Jacobs, mm-hmm. where you need him fully healthy, 1,000,000%. You got him as 2,000. I thought that was a nice moment. And did you see him say that it was his first ever hat and shirt game? You know what that means?
No, I don't.
You get a shirt, you put a hat on for your division championship.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. I like that.
He's never had one of them where it's just like, didn't have it in New York.
Yeah, definitely not.
And so, yeah, that's enough. You got your revenge. You got the 2 seed. You got your division. Okay. You got your 2,000 yards. What are you going to go in with both fists to go after Eric Dickerson and put every single hope and dream that you have of eventually to get to the promised land and play in the Super Bowl in the Superdome? Hell, man.
Wow, I was ready to push back on this. Now I'll push back on you agreeing.
Okay.
I mean, nice. Look,
good,
you know,
good
you
Omaha.
Know, like these records, you know, this normally guy. Don't last very long. The nice. Obsession has been Eric Dickerson has held this for 40 years.
That.
It's kind of one of the roots of his identity. I got to think maybe this rushing record, if Saquon does get it, 20, you know, 2150, 22, maybe, this is going to last for a long time.
Great. Who cares?
Wow, I wasn't ready to
honestly,
provide pushback.
Honestly, who cares? And then, you know, when it's all said and done, let's just call it what it is. That this Eric Dickerson record, for it to be a record, needs to be done in 16 games.
Now you sound like me.
I know. What the hell's happened to me?
We've done a flip, a body change.
What else?
I love it. Wow, that's good. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
You didn't see that
one
coming.
I did not see that coming.
All right.
Oh, man.
You don't even know how to move on.
I don't. I'm like staggered here. All right. These are not any game or player related, these last two, but I want to have a discussion about this.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for the league to get rid of automatic home playoff game for division winners.
No.
We're going to have a maybe 14 team win.
You're going to have a 14 win
team go on the road.
Right. Yeah.
What are we doing?
Well, the division does matter when it's all said and done.
Does it?
You know, how about this?
Some of these divisions are terrible.
This is the, I guess, league construct version of the end zone is sacred. And thus, if you fumble into it, you should be penalized if it's out of the end zone. You know how I keep saying, you know what? That's the dumbest, stupidest rule. And
right,
it is.
Right.
And it's going to come home to roost one day. It's going to come home to roost one day in an NFC or an AFC championship game or the Super Bowl. And there's going to be a ton of casual fans who are like, what the hell is that rule all about?
Who cares
it's
about
going
the game? I mean, come on.
To happen. But you casual. Keep saying, there needs to be some sort of penalty
right,
because the end zone is the ultimate hallowed ground
yeah, you get points
of
for the
National
zone.
Football League.
Yeah, right.
I am now taking your approach to this
to the
problem.
As a division?
The division is that sacred ground
man.
That you need to defend that these games, because you play multiple times in a year against the same opponent, do mean more. And you should be rewarded for winning those games. They are territorial. This is what the league, Christopher, the league is about territory, is it not?
Yeah,
it's about gaining it
true.
And not losing it.
Yeah, that's
it. It's about you need
game
this,
of inches.
Dude, you need these 10 yards of territory.
That's right.
And then once you get that, you must vanquish the next 10 yards of territory until you get the territory that's the Valhalla of the end zone.
Good use of vanquish.
The division is this territory. And when you win it, and you plant your flag in it. That's it. You deserve the spoils.
Do the Texans really deserve a home game? Like, come on. Their division has like 12 combined wins.
You are front loading a discussion that will be had in exactly 1 week.
All right.
Like if we were predicting an overreaction.
Getting ready for it.
It's whoever loses that game in Detroit. Will be like
now. It's to go to Tampa.
Now
or
I got to go on the road.
Like, what are we doing?
I got to go on the road. Really? I now got to go to where they're firing the cannons.
They're going
to
be
and then
think about this. They're going to be either Detroit or Minnesota. They're going to be maybe a touchdown favorite as a road team in Tampa or Atlanta.
You
Why?
Don't think
Why?
The Bucs could knock off the Lions?
Why?
You don't? They almost did last year. You don't think the Bucs could knock off the Vikings? They sure can. I mean, you know it. Certainly with Bucky Irving running the way he is.
I do love Bucky Irving.
And playoffs are going to be sick.
Baker's been
awesome. That's an overreaction.
All right.
Next up.
Well, this you're going to think this is one, too.
Oh, great.
There needs to be no more games on short rest after week 15. These games are too important to have slop fests like we saw on Christmas Day.
I kind of dig it.
Dig which?
What you're saying.
Thank you. What are we doing? Why are we having games that matter so much to seeding and the playoffs and home field advantage and player bonuses, all this crap, and we're playing them on 4 days rest in late December?
I'm with you.
Why?
I'm with you. In the same way that the NFL removes weather most of the time from the Super Bowl as a factor for their biggest game.
Right. Because it needs to be played in perfect conditions.
Let's remove the unique conditions of having to get ready on a short week and you need all your players back. And instead of getting another day or two in the cold tub or in some form of rehab with the training staff, you got to get going. You got to go, you got to get on a plane. You got a short week and your best players that could have been ready on a Sunday for this must have game is not playing because of the circumstances. And then, you know, in the same way the Ravens, I mean, John Harbaugh said it too, and I don't blame him, man. I don't blame him for flexing. When they pounded the snot out of the Texans, and he was just as proud of his team as it possibly could be, and he said they dominated, they owned this 3 games in 11-day stretch. Mm-hmm. That is not easy. The Chiefs and the Ravens, you want to talk about battle-tested? They went through those 3 games, and they just steamrolled it. 3 games in 11 days, and they took care of their business.
Yep, that is not good for fans. It's not good for the product.
No,
this is not even mentioning the fantasy situation. Like, fantasy and gambling are now such a huge important in the NFL.
It should matter because they're
partners with it now. They're partners
with these gaming companies
and fantasy leagues. It matters.
Let me help you. Do you want this to actually happen?
Yes.
Okay. For you to then make this happen, it's got to be made. In all honesty, not that, you know, who knows? The pounding the table can start on the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Sure, why not?
You've got to go the player safety route. You've got to go the competition.
Well, we should
route.
Go that too.
You can't go the. You know, it's going to cost some very well intentioned gamblers money. Like, that's when they'll go be like, get out of here. While also approving a slot machine ad. You know what I mean? Like,
as they tell me their 3-game parlay for Matthew Berry. For real.
But this is also a lot of partners. What are you going to tell Amazon Prime for all their money? Hey, no more Thursday night games after week 15?
Yeah, you can play them on Saturday.
I don't know if you can do that. Oh, play them on Saturday. I guess they play a game on Friday.
But Thursday and Friday games, like, come on. These games are too important. It matters too much.
I hear you. But the Christmas gambit, that's going to continue on. I believe Christmas will, over the next 2 years on the Netflix deal, is a Thursday and a Friday. So, you know, the Wednesday thing just sticks out like a sore thumb.
31-2 is pretty rough.
I don't know if that had to do with Wednesday. It didn't have to do with Wednesday. Man, they played on the Saturday before. They had the same amount of rest. I don't know. I hear you.
Yeah.
I don't think this is an overreaction.
All right, I want it out either. There. All right, let's look back to week 7.
Okay.
Rich, let's look back to week 7. So we're now 10 weeks. 10 removed weeks from some of these takes.
I dig this new feature.
I got three. They're interesting.
Okay.
They're interesting. Okay. One, this was like Russell Wilson, I think, was named the starter because the Steelers were 4-2, right?
I said, let me get this right. Hold on. Let's get this right here. So this is after week 7.
After week six. Yeah.
The Steelers.
This is third
were
week.
In fact 4-2.
Third week of October.
And they were getting set to take on the Jets on a Sunday night, and there were rumblings.
Yeah.
That Russ was, in fact, ready to go, and we'll see what Tomlin's going to do.
Yep.
Okay.
And I said Russell Wilson is going to lead the Steelers to the North title.
Oh, you're so close.
So close.
Man, the last couple weeks in Pittsburgh have just been so deflating for the fan base. You know, we thought we'd finally gotten through the last few years of just middling our way into a winning record in the playoffs, only to get boat raced by a clearly better opponent in the playoffs. They thought they'd gotten through that, and the last couple of weeks makes them feel like it's just reverting to that mean.
Yeah.
But Pittsburgh is not going to win the division.
No.
As a matter of fact, the Saturday night game of week 18 is Cincinnati at Pittsburgh, because that is so huge.
Huge.
that is so huge that it sets up the table for what the Dolphins need to do the next day and the Broncos need to do the next day.
Yep. I love that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we almost had it.
The Steelers, by the way, are playing to stay the five seed. They're playing for their right to go play Houston.
Which I think they probably
as opposed to going to see the Ravens for a third time.
You know, they don't want
they're
that.
They're playing for everyone else's hardball.
Yeah.
Is what they're doing.
Yeah.
By the way, how about me predicting that?
I think you're going to
before going on the break.
I think you're going to be right.
I was the first one to ever say that word for the Super Wild Card weekend.
Yeah.
So everyone knows.
And then a couple that were kind of were close. There will be multiple 10-win teams in the NFC that missed the playoffs. I don't think we may not have any, sadly.
No, we won't. We will not. Well, I mean, the Seahawks could be.
Seahawks could be 10 wins because they're out, right?
They're out.
They're out. All right, so we might have one.
Mm-hmm.
And then last one I said, which I was right at the time, despite being undefeated, Mahomes is not a top 10 quarterback right now, which I was right at the time. But I gotta say, maybe he put this on his bulletin board, his vision board, and I inspired him.
320 and three touchdowns against the
Steelers. Yeah, so he was leading the league in interceptions at the time.
Yes.
9-1, 21 touchdowns, only three picks. Multiple 300-yard games. He's been awesome.
He's been, dare I say, a switch flipper.
I don't know about that. Uh-huh. I don't know about.
Okay.
You can't switch flip a switch in the NFL, Rich. I mean, you're just playing better, the scheming better, okay. Getting a little more healthy.
Okay. Very good. Very good.
Kelsey's playing himself into shape.
But flipping a switch is not like a literal
he's been
thing.
Awesome.
Like there's no switch that they actually did. Like it's behind the Golden Ox where we did our our fantasy draft.
Fantasy draft.
It's not like.
Did I win that?
Yes, you did.
Oh, yeah, I won that.
Yeah. I think it was your idea to actually have the league.
Yeah. I was like, let's do a league.
Jeez. At our dinner the night before kickoff in Kansas City, and here we are entering week 18.
Yeah, Mahomes has been awesome.
Fun stuff. Okay, check us out every single day, obviously, on the Rich Eisen Show, all 3 hours, available through how you're getting this very podcast, also on our YouTube channel as well. I will be guesting with Susie and Amy.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, because we're everybody's in different parts of the country.
And it's New Year's Eve.
And it's New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to do it.
Nice. Yeah,
for What the Football. But for Chris, I'm Rich. Adios for Overreaction Monday.
My World with Jeff Jarrett takes wrestling fans behind the scenes, along with King of the Mountain, Conrad Thompson.
I wanted to ask you about what you know, if anything, on the new WWE ID program, where they're apparently going to be working with some independent wrestlers.
My encouragement to any independent wrestler out there, build your value and then understand your value, and then you create your own leverage. There's no substitute for hard work and getting over.
My World with Jeff Jarrett, wherever you listen.